Most people, I think, would applaud these principles in the abstract, but how can they be practiced in concrete terms? There are a number of good ideas in the public domain already. Here are some to consider as well that do not require a lengthy implementation period or an act of Congress. I'd recommend a significant change in the White House senior staff structure. I have thought about this based on my own experience, as well as through examining the structure of the White Houses that preceded the one I served. First, the President should appoint a Deputy Chief of Staff for governing. This position would be responsible for making sure the President is continually and consistently committed to a high level of openness and forthrightness and transcending partisanship to achieve unity. Organizationally, this deputy would report directly to the President and the Chief of Staff. The policy directors, personnel director, senior political advisor, communications advisor, and White House counsel would be under his and the Chief of Staff's authority and direction. With such authority and responsibility, this person would also need some top talent working in his immediate office. He would likely need three dedicated assistants, each with important, specific responsibilities. 1. An assistant to focus on unity, integrally involved in the legislative policy and political apparatuses. He would work to make sure that legislative policy and political priorities are set with an eye towards substantive engagement with leaders from the opposing party and the search for common ground. For example, when the details of a new healthcare program are being developed, he would ensure not only that legislators of both parties are consulted early and continually, but also that representatives of interest groups on all sides of this issue would have a chance to contribute to the conversation. Doctors and nurses organizations, insurance companies, for-profit and not-for-profit healthcare companies, patients' rights associations, labor unions, employer groups, and many others. 2. An assistant to focus on transparency, integrally involved in the presidential papers and document processes, as well as responding to requests from citizens groups and interest groups for information about the policymaking process within the White House. This transparency assistant might also oversee a potential reform of the process for classifying intelligence information and other government data, making sure that the secrecy needed to protect vital security interests isn't abused as a way of protecting an administration from revelations that are merely embarrassing or politically inconvenient. 3. An assistant to focus on tone, integrally involved in the White House communication structure, including dealing with all high-profile controversies that invariably arise in the executive branch. His job would include making sure that the messages the administration chooses to deliver reflect respect for the leaders of the other party and for the legitimate concerns and needs of all Americans. This assistant would have the responsibility for identifying and halting unsavory political tactics that foster needless division in Washington and among social, ethnic, religious, or geographic communities. The Deputy Chief of Staff for Governing will need to be an experienced statesman who is knowledgeable, skillful, and respected enough to work across party lines. He should have a deep understanding and appreciation for the permanent campaign and its potential consequences, as well as a deep appreciation for alternative ways of governing via deliberation, consensus, compromise, and cooperation. A strong presence or force of personality is also important. He must be someone who, when necessary, can look the president or his highest-ranking advisors in the eye and say, with respect, you're wrong. The Deputy Chief of Staff for Governing would be critical to keeping the permanent campaign in check and making sure the senior political advisor or team of advisors does not exercise inordinate influence over events inside the White House. This is an important concession to realism. I think it's unrealistic to hope that a president's top political advisors will not have a significant influence in the White House. The goal should be to balance political considerations with non-political ones. Creating a new position that focuses on governing is one way of achieving such balance. The Deputy Chief of Staff for Governing would need to have full knowledge of what is going on inside the administration in order to fulfill his important role. He would need to be included in every senior-level policy, legislative, personnel, communications, and decision-making meeting regarding both foreign and domestic issues. He would need to be provided with all relevant documents and information, and he would need to have full access to the president. Whereas the chief of staff might act as an honest broker, above and outside of the intramural battles that inevitably arise in any administration, a role that Andy Card filled, the deputy chief of staff for governing, would be a strong advocate for his designated priorities. If he did his job well, he would probably butt heads with the president's political advisors from time to time. In fact, if he rarely or never engaged in such conflict, it's almost certain that he would not be doing his job as I've envisioned it. A deputy chief of staff for governance could do a lot to help the president move our country toward a style of leadership that is transparent, inclusive, and candid, qualities that I believe Americans are longing for and will readily embrace when they see them. Let me address each of these a bit more fully. First, transparency. In our age of 24/7 news coverage and instantaneous communication, it defies logic to think that an administration can be successful without embracing transparency. The information age increasingly demands openness and forthrightness. No person or entity can control public opinion in a world with such a wide array of sources of public approval, from blogs to citizen journalists to growing advocacy journalism on the right and left, and the diverse sources of news and opinion and ways to get them, especially on the internet. All of these trends are healthy for democracy, for ensuring accountability and getting to the truth. Embracing secrecy beyond the necessary classified national security information is a recipe for disaster in such an environment, where what a White House tries to keep secret invariably comes to light. It is far better to be open and forthright about it than to let suspicion grow or allow others to determine the storyline. Just as important, embracing openness and forthrightness leads to positive change and internal accountability. In an open government, problems cannot be brushed under the rug. Transparency encourages corrective action, including holding people to account when needed. As a leadership characteristic, inclusiveness means making sure that deliberation and compromise with Congress is as much a focus as campaigning to manipulate sources of public approval. A president must constantly reach out to members of Congress and engage in good faith deliberation and compromise to enact legislation and solve pressing priority problems, and the Deputy Chief of Staff for Governance would be charged with promoting and facilitating these efforts. Promoting inclusive leadership also means continually exposing the president to outside experts, scholars, and elder statesmen of all points of view for advice and counsel, particularly on the most consequential or controversial matters. And it means making sure that the president's governing team is significantly more transpartisan than it has been in recent history, including a healthy number of members from the other party and possibly an independent leader or two. Such transpartisanship would be particularly important in today's hyperpartisan, ideologically driven Washington environment. The president's cabinet should be the place to start. It's not enough for a president to name one or two members of the opposing party to minor cabinet posts, as President Bush named Democrat Norman Y. Mineta to the relatively obscure post of Transportation Secretary. Why not a Secretary of State, Defense, or Treasury from the opposition party? It's easy to think of distinguished, capable, centrist figures from both the Democratic and Republican parties who are admirably suited to fill these roles. What a powerful gesture of national unity this would be coming from our next president. It is also wise to have a cabinet that reflects the ethnic, racial, religious, geographic, and gender diversity of America. This is a goal that President Bush did an admirable job of pursuing. This can easily be achieved while reaching out across party lines to assemble the presidential team and without sacrificing the paramount qualities of intellect, experience, training, judgment, and integrity. The need for inclusiveness also means actively reaching out to leaders of various constituencies, both those who are naturally supportive of the administration and those who are not. The president serves all the people, and the White House should reflect that. The next Democratic president should make a point of spending time with such traditionally conservative groups as evangelical Christians, gun owners, pro-life activists, and tax cut advocates, while the next Republican should reach out to gay rights groups, teachers' unions, animal rights lobbyists, and environmentalists, to name a few. Even if no one's opinions are changed, some common ground may be discovered on which positive change can be built. And in any case, to show mutual respect and a simple willingness to listen would do much to reduce the toxicity that pervades the Washington atmosphere. Inclusiveness also means constantly monitoring presidential and White House communications to ensure a tone that rises above partisan politics and minimizes or eliminates the use of scorched earth politics, both internally and externally among key support organizations, including the National Party apparatus. There is nothing wrong with message discipline. It is useful and necessary in today's media environment, but it needs to be kept within the context of a high level of candor, honesty, and respect for the opposition. By the same token, campaigning to engage the public behind policy initiatives is also vital, but not at the expense of deliberation and compromise. Citizen groups, industry organizations, nonprofits, and activist associations shouldn't be regarded primarily as weapons to be deployed in partisan warfare, but rather as partners who can help solve problems through mutual exploration of opportunities and options.